All right. Yes, we are going to talk here for the next few weeks about an opportunity we have here at Cedar Creek, and that's what this is about. It says right on there, the family's growing, it's time to build. And we're going to talk here for the next 4 weeks about the possibility or the logistics of adding on to our building. Now, I suspect that some of you are thinking, oh, great, this is going to be either really boring or really something, but not exciting, probably is what you, I mean, nobody thinks, hey, it's capital campaign, I'm really excited about that. But I think that maybe we should be, and here's why. I want to read something to you. This is in it's in the book of John, chapter 15. This is right before Jesus is going to be crucified, and he's spending time talking to his disciples, the guys who are going to kind of carry on, the guys who are really going to take the message of the gospel, spread it all over the whole world. These are the guys that are going to, in essence, start the church. They're going to begin doing what we're doing right now. And it's a group of, you know, very few guys. At this point, there's the 12, and then there's probably some more who are there, but a very small group of people. And from that group of people, this good news, this gospel that God himself came down looking for us, that you and I can be right with God, that our sins can be forgiven, that God himself paid the penalty for my sins, that gospel spread out over the whole world. And that was thousands of years ago. So across the whole world and across thousands of years, that message started with just a very, very few men. And here in this part of John, Jesus is talking to these guys, and he knows he's going to leave them, and he's setting them up for what they're going to do. Saying, you guys now are going to take the reins, and he spends a lot of time in there talking about, I'm not leaving, I'm going to come, I'm going to live inside of you, the Spirit's going to come, God's going to be close to you, but you guys now are going to work, and there's things you're going to do. And here in John chapter 15, he says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more fruit. And I like to think about that. And a little while later, it says in verse 8, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. When we talk about needing to add on space here, to me, it's exciting for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's because we've been fruitful. God has used what happens here at Cedar Creek. People have come. Things have happened. People have gotten saved. Lives have been transformed. That this part of God's church family has grown. And so we can look into our past and say, my goodness, God, you've done amazing things. There are people sitting here. I was saved through this church. I heard the good news through this church 30 years ago. I was on campus and people from this church came out and shared the gospel with me, and I accepted Christ as my Savior, and my life has been transformed. I have lived a different life, and so many of you have done that because of what's happened here at this church. And so when we think about, gosh, we're looking at moving, or at building, that's an exciting thing because we can look into the past and say, God, you are so good. You have caused us to be fruitful. And God gets glory and honor from that. But it also is exciting because we can look into the future and say, you're not done. We're not finished with this. That's what that passage says. He said, God said, you know, if you don't bear fruit, I cut you off. But if you do bear fruit, I prune you, I trim you clean, I do some things so that you'll be even more fruitful. God has gotten glory through Cedar Creek. There's so many good churches in the Chippewa Valley. We're just one of them. We're no better than any other church. And God has used so many churches, but this is one of them. And it's fun to look at how God has used us, and it's exciting to think about how God's going to use us. And so when we talk about taking these steps of faith, these building things, to me it's exciting. And I hope that you're excited as well. So what we're going to do here for the next few weeks is talk about that option. Talk about what we're going to do, what our plans are for expanding our space here at Cedar Creek. Today I'm going to talk about why that particular thing. There's all kinds of ways that we can grow, all kinds of things that we can do to help us to grow more. Why this particular one? That's what I'm going to talk about today. Next week we're going to talk about some of the logistics, the nuts and bolts. What is it that we're actually wanting to do? How are we going to pay for it? You know, talk about some of those details. That's next week. Then we'll take a break for Good Friday and Easter. And we'll come back after Easter, and we'll talk about some of the financial principles that God has given us. And we're going to give everybody an opportunity to really seek the Lord and say, Lord, would you want me to sacrificially give some of my money to help make this happen? We'll talk about that in that third week. Then in the fourth week, we're going to talk about taking a leap of faith. And we're going to look back at our history and at some of the ways that God has asked people just to step out in faith to really bring him glory and honor and to see what he can do, okay? So that's what we're doing. That's what we're going to do here for the next few weeks. Tonight, what we're going to do is talk about why a building. Why are we thinking about this as an option? Why is this the option that we've chosen to step forward in as we grow? Well, first of all, it's good to recognize that we here at Cedar Creek really are in the process of growing. And if you've been around here long, you know that that's true. And that looks like a lot of different things. You know, when a church grows, it looks like all kinds of different things. And around here, it's looked like, well, we've rearranged and rearranged and rearranged. And if you've been back here in the Sunday school space, you see they just keep carving out more and more room for the kids. And in fact, this door used to go into a hallway. Now if you go through that door, it's part of the nursery. And so we're just converting more and more and more space into rooms for kids. They're seriously talking about the next available space is my office back there in the corner. It's going to be me and the fourth graders in there, I think. One of the ways that it looks to grow is small groups. You've maybe been in a small group that has grown and split, and now there's two small groups. And that's good because we're getting more and more people who want to come here on Sunday morning, also get involved in relationships. And so we've seen small groups split and grow and new small groups start, new ministries, new things happening that we're doing. And so growing here at Cedar Creek looks like a lot of different things, and there's a lot of different ways that comes out. But from time to time, when a church grows, that means that there's a need for more space. We just kind of fill up the space that we have. Now, we have talked about that here for a long time. We probably started, Dave Lenander, who is a pastor here, who is now down in La Crosse at our church plant down in La Crosse, he put together a team of people to talk about possibly expanding in. Is Tarvey here? When was that, Tarv? Do you remember? 6 years ago? 7 years ago? So it's been something that we've been kicking around and thinking about for a long time. This idea that, you know, could we use, we've got 16 acres here, you know, is it, you know, how would God want us to use that? Is expanding something that we should think about? And so Dave put this team of people together and they talked about it, and over a period of time they put together some different plans, different ideas. Well, what would we use the space for? How could we use it? And that's been happening. There have been different plans. If you remember, at one point we had a couple of different options. One was to go out to the north here with a great big expansion with a sanctuary, lots of office space. Another one was to go to the south, a smaller expansion with office space, convert all of the current stuff to Sunday schools. There's just been different plans. We've had architects involved and different builders looking at it. And so this process of thinking through, should we build, should we do this, has been going on for some time. We're at the point now where in the future our desire, the goal is to actually build, to break ground, put up a building, and the plan is to do it to the south there. And we'll talk a lot about those details next week when you're here. But our future, God willing, if that's how God leads, if that's how God keeps leading us, hopefully even this summer we will break ground and start building. But right now in this process, there's been a lot of planning, and in the future we're going to build. Right now in this process, for the next month or two, we're going to talk about opportunities and how we as a church family might want to pay for this. And, you know, things like this cost money. We know that. Anything you do in this world costs money. And so we're going to talk about this capital campaign. These next few weeks are going to be talking about that aspect of it and what our role would be in that. So that's what we're going to do here. But it's worth asking the question, and tonight what I'm going to do is ask this question: do we really need a new building? And I think it's a question that is a fair question to ask. And a lot of people have asked that question. Is that the best use of our funds? Is that the best, you know, way for us to kind of keep growing or not? Well, that's a good question. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And it's maybe one way to think about it is to, you know, God calls the church a family. That's one of the pictures, one of the things that God compares the church to. He says it's like a family. And if you think about a family, when you get married, when my wife and I got married, we moved into a house. It was a house. It wasn't an apartment, but it was smaller than any apartment I'd ever been in. I can't understand why anybody built a house this small. I mean, it was almost like a dollhouse. We moved in, and there was a kitchen and a little living room and a bathroom, and you went up these stairs to a bedroom. And it was this tiny, tiny little place, and it was great because it was just Sue and I, and it was all we needed. Well, then, as happens in families, you start having kids. When you start having kids, you need more space. It's a little bit harder to cram the kids in there. And if you have more than one kid, you know, then you start to need to have more space. And if you have a boy and a girl, you know, it gets to a point where you don't want them to be in the same bedroom. And so just as your family grows, you need more and more space. Here's something else that I didn't think about as a married guy. As your kids get bigger, they take up more space. And so, you know, one bathroom works when you've got three little kids. Then works are good when you've got three teenagers. And so just as families grow, and we know this, we just kind of know when you start off, you got something small, and because you don't have that many people, and so you can occupy a small space. As your family grows, you just take up more space. And so what happens for most families is they start off when they get married and they have a little house, but then they're kind of looking forward to, we need to kind of stretch the walls out here a little bit. And so they start to save money and they start to think about how can we get a bigger place. And that's just kind of the way that a lot of families do this. And you have to wait sometimes. You know, you can't do it right away. You got to wait till you can afford it. But eventually, the family will build or buy, get a bigger space. Cedar Creek is a family that is growing. We're growing. When I got involved in this church, we were a church of about 50 people. We grew to a church of about 300 people, and then we planted the church in La Crosse back in 2010. After we planted the church in La Crosse, we were down to about 200, a little more than 200 people. But now we have grown back to that 300 number, and so we're growing. More people are coming. You know, it says in Acts 5:14. In fact, it's on that little flyer. It says more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number, and we're seeing that happen here at Cedar Creek. The people are coming. God is reaching and touching hearts, and they're making Cedar Creek their church home. And so we've grown back to that about, you know, that 300 number, maybe even a little bit more. So we're growing as a church family. We're also growing as individual families. And one of the great blessings here is at Cedar Creek is we have lots and lots of little kids. I mean, if you turn the lights on and count it tonight, I wonder how many little ones we have here under 5 years old. Probably a lot. And if you come on a Sunday morning, they're everywhere. There's just lots and lots and lots of them. Lisa, are you here? How many in the nursery do we have on Sundays? 45 little ones. And what? Through age three. 45 from 6 months to age three, and there's a lot more coming. There's lots of babies. I was just talking to Matt and Brianna, and on April 11th, it'll be 44. And there's just more and more and more of these little ones coming along. It's fun. It's exciting. We are growing as a, my math is bad. I'm a pastor. I don't have to add. That's what calculators are for. We're growing as a church, and that's fun. So what do we do about it? A family, as it grows, they need more space. Well, they buy a bigger house or they build. Well, the analogy isn't exact. It's not an exact analogy, I know that, but it's worth asking the question. As a church family, as we grow, is it time, do we need to expand our building, like a young family would do as it's growing. Well, we've done lots of different things to try to manage the growth. This Friday night service is one of those things. It creates more space for people to come to. It kind of frees up space on the Sunday school side. We've rearranged the space over there, tried to use our space as well as we can. We've done a lot of things to manage the growth, and it seems as though God is leading us to a point where now it's time to actually build. Why is that what it seems like? Well, let me explain to you what it seems like God is doing. When we look at our strengths here at Cedar Creek, every church has strengths and weaknesses. Every church has things that they're good at, things that they're not so good at. We're no different than any other church. When you look at our strengths here at Cedar Creek, I think kind of the combination of strengths that God has given us puts us in somewhat of a unique position. One of the great strengths that we have here is that we have lots of young families. And every church doesn't. There's all kinds of different demographics, and if you go to some churches, you know, those demographics are different. We at Cedar Creek have a lot of young families, people who are married with little ones, all the way from newborn through middle school, high school, lots and lots and lots of young families. That's a good thing, and one of the reasons that that's a really good thing is that young families attract young families, right? We all kind of look for people who are like us, and so when young families are looking for a church, this is a place that many of them come and feel comfortable. A lot of the growth that we have comes from people who are young families. Now, the reason that that is, I think, particularly exciting is this. We live in a culture that is increasingly disinterested in church. Increasingly, our culture looks at church and doesn't see any value there for them. People are leaving the church and they're not coming back. People are looking to the church and not seeing any reason to go and to really sink themselves into it, with a few exceptions. One of those exceptions is that when people have children, when a young couple gets married and they're married, they're living, and they have kids, once they have kids, that seems to spark to a greater degree a thought that, you know what, we maybe should go back to church. In fact, the research says that 42% of young families, when they have a child, it makes them either want to reconnect or connect more or to connect for the first time at a church. Now, you may think 42% isn't a lot, but in the culture we live in, that's huge. That's mammoth. 42% of young families, when they have a child, they begin to think about, I wonder if we should go back to church. That number is higher for couples, for moms and dads who are under 35 years old or who have kids who are under 5 years old, which is a lot of what we are. So what does that mean? Well, one of our strengths is we can attract people who are looking for a church. When people begin to look to the church and think that church has something that I can benefit from, we're a place, because of how God has made us, because of how God has configured us, we're a church that can attract them. And that's exciting, because here's what happens. That young family comes because they want their little one to go to Sunday school, but they come and they sit in here and they hear God speak to them. And God knows those people. And if they come in the door, it's a chance for them to hear the word of God. It's a chance for them, for you and I, to touch them and to love them. And they can begin to see. You know, it says that the whole world will know that we are God's disciples by the love that we have for each other. And people come in the door and they see how we interact. And maybe they've never seen anything like that before. Getting people here is a huge thing. It's not the only thing, but it opens the door for people to be touched by the Lord. And we have an opportunity to do that, because we're attracting people who are looking for a church. But this demographic, these young families, they've grown up in a culture where they look for excellence. They're used to things being big and fancy and top-notch. That's kind of the world that they have grown up in. And so that's what they're looking for, and they expect church to be that same way. And so they go looking for a church, but they're looking for a church that's like them, but also does things well. That fits into another strength that we have. And that strength, God has given us an extremely strong financial position here at Cedar Creek, and we'll talk about this some now in the upcoming weeks. But here at Cedar Creek, God has blessed us with a very, very, very strong financial position. People who come here are very willing to give to the Lord. We've made let God lead us in some good, wise decisions. We have no debt here at Cedar Creek. We have a good income. We have strong cash reserves. All that means is that we have the ability to do some of these things well. We have the ability to create a really, really nice facility. So what does that mean? You combine our strengths. Those aren't all of our strengths, but those two strengths, young families with a strong financial position, it puts us in a unique place to attract young families who are looking for a church. All of this leads us to think, you know what, we maybe are in a position where building a building really is going to be something that God is asking us to do. Because it can draw, I mean, we're here to win and build. We want people to come to know the Lord. God does not need a building to see people get saved. God does not need a fancy program for people to get saved. He doesn't need it. But our world looks for it. And we're in a position to provide that. And I think that it's a good thing for us to do. We're in a position to make an impact. I want to read a verse here to you. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is Paul talking about this idea. He's talking about how he conducts himself and what he does, recognizing that he's living in a world that needs God, but that is looking kind of in a little bit of a different way. And I'm going to start reading here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read a little bit of this passage here in verse 19. It says, even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. I try to find common ground with everyone. Doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share its blessings. It seems that God has put us in a position for us to look at this and say, you know what? There are people out there who don't know the Lord, who have abandoned church, who have left church, who we can have an impact on because they're young families, and they're looking to the church, and they'll come here, and they'll find young families like them. And if we can do it in such a way that makes them comfortable to come, why not do it? Why not do this? Why not be like Paul, who says, I'll do anything to win some. What can I do? It's not that a building is the thing. It's not that a program is the thing. But if that's what attracts a person, I will do it because the goal, folks, is not to save our money. The goal is not to have a big building. The goal is to be used by God to influence the world around us. That's what God wants us to do. And if building a building helps us to do that, well, let's do it. And it just seems like that's where God is leading us. It seems like that's the thing that God is asking us to do. And that's exciting to me. Someday this building is going to be gone. You know, someday this building won't be here. Guaranteed. I don't know how long it's going to take, but if you live long enough, none of us probably will, but in 100 years, 200 years, how long is it going to take for this building to leave? I don't know, but it will. But the souls who are influenced in this building, if a man or woman or child walks in these doors, and God speaks to them, and their soul is saved, that will last for eternity in heaven. for eternity in heaven. We have a chance. We have a chance, I think, in a world that is increasingly looking away from God, I think we have a chance to do something bold to draw some people to God. Because we have a fancy building? No, because we're coming to them. And we're opening the doors in a way that they will come so that God can speak to them. That's why we're thinking of building this building. To use the strengths that we have to win souls. See, God doesn't need this, and he doesn't need us. God can do what he's going to do, but he does ask us to play a part. And I want to read this verse here in Proverbs 21, verse 31. It says, "The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord." I like that verse. I like that verse because I think it helps me to understand, all right, in anything like this, you know, God has asked us to be involved. God has asked us to be spreading the word, just like Jesus was talking to those people way back then. He was going to do something that only he could do. He was going to go to the cross and die and pay the penalty for their sins and for mine. Nobody could do that but God himself. Jesus had to do that. Then he was going to come. He said, "I'm going to send the Spirit to live inside of you, and I'm going to give you power. And I'm going to give you direction, and I'm going to counsel you. Only God can do that." And there's so much about what we do as a church that only God can do. But there are some things that God says, "I want you to do." And this verse reminds me of that. Victory belongs to the Lord. God brings the ultimate victory. But what happens first, according to this? Well, the horse is made ready. The horse is prepared for the day of battle. Who prepares the horse? Does God? I don't think so. I don't think so. That's you and I. There are things God asks us to do. He allows us to join him in this great, unbelievable work of winning and saving souls. And that's what this is about. We don't build buildings because we want to have a big church. We build things. We do stuff. We have programs. We do ministries. We play music the way we do. We dress the way we do. All of this stuff so that we can win the people that we live with. That's why we do this. And we have the strength, we have the muscle, we have the space to do it. And it's going to open the door, I think. I hope and I pray it will open the door for people to come in so that we've done our part. We've prepared the horse for the day of battle. And then God speaks to a soul. God saves a man or a woman or a child. That's what we're doing here. That's why we're looking to build a building. Now, in the next few weeks, we're going to explore this even more. Next week, we're going to look at the how, when, what, all of the details about it. What is it that we're going to do? When are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? How are we going to pay for it? We're going to look at all of the details next week. The week after Easter, we're going to talk about where's my treasure? Investing wisely. Because again, even though we're strong financially, we don't have enough money to pay for it in cash. And so we're going to look to each other. We're going to see as a church family what God might be asking us to do to give to make this happen. We'll talk about that the week after Easter. And then the last week, we're going to talk about taking a leap of faith. That, you know what? God asks us at times to do things that stretch us. God asks us to do that a lot. And this is one of those things where God says we have a chance to really do something that's out of the ordinary. That we're putting ourselves out there, and God's going to have to come through for us as a church and for us individually. And taking that leap of faith can be a scary thing, but God asks us to do it. And he's so faithful. We'll talk about that last week, okay?